Good evening. It's a privilege to handle the word of truth. It's a fearful thing, but it's a great privilege, an awesome thing to handle the word of truth tonight. If we open to the book of Hebrews, please, and Hebrews chapter 1. A few weeks ago, when Pastor Wayne and his family were traveling in Victoria, we considered the supremacy of the Son, the supremacy of Jesus Christ from the book of Hebrews, particularly the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. And we considered there seven aspects of Christ's supremacy. Seven aspects. We looked at those verses, Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, in that Jesus Christ is heir of all things, in that he made the worlds, in that he is the brightness of God's glory, in that he is the express image, the very image of God's person, in that he upholds all things by the word of his power, in that he by himself has purged our sins, and that he has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And really the book of Hebrews, though we do not know the writer, it glorifies the Son. It brings out the supremacy and the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith, as the creator of the world. And we heard this morning about God, the creator. We know that Christ was there in the beginning. He was the Word. He was speaking things into existence. So the next portion I want to concentrate on tonight is a longer portion. It's verse 4 to 14. And in this text, it is shown that Christ is greater than the angels. We may say, yes, that's obvious. But let's have a look at what the writer of Hebrews has to say about Christ being greater than the angels. He is shown to the Jews of this period. The book is written to the Jews of that period, the dispersed Jews. He is shown to be greater than the prophets. And now he is shown to be greater than even the angels. Let's ask God's help. Let's pray as we come to this text tonight. Lord, we stand in awe of you. And as we have sung, as we have extolled your name, O Lord, won't you continue to minister to us through your word. Lord, I want to thank you tonight that you, Lord Jesus, are the multiplier of your word, that by the Holy Spirit today, even this night, Lord Jesus, this word can go forth in power. O Lord, for I rest in you tonight. And thank you, Lord, that I am just one of those, Lord, who goes around just spreading the word, Lord, just sharing that bread that has come down from heaven. But I thank you, Lord, that the miracle is yourself, Lord Jesus. You, Lord, have come down to earth and you have given us your spirit in this day and left us your word. You have not left us destitute. And Lord, as I share it tonight, I pray that it might bring meaning and it might resonate with truth in each heart, that we may go from this place, Lord, with a bold witness, witnessing to the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. So we've understood that Jesus Christ is greater than the prophets, and he speaks this day to us through his word. The Son speaks. And in verse 4 we pick it up. He, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says this, God says this, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? The book of Hebrews here in this text testifies that Jesus the Son is greater than the angels. Now, Matthew Henry, I want to just read a brief commentary on and an introduction to this passage. He says here that many Jews had a superstitious or an idolatrous respect for angels. Now, that was true then. It's true today. It's true on a wider sphere amongst religions. There is a superstitious people. There is an idolatrous people in this age as there were in all previous ages. Now, the Jews particularly had this superstitious respect because they also had received the law and other tidings of the divine will by their ministries, that is, their angels' ministry. And they looked upon them as mediators between God and men, and some even went as far as to pay them a kind of religious homage or worship. Sounds somewhat familiar today in certain religious circles. Angels are given quite a lot of homage or paid worship. Now, men are inherently superstitious, and they fail to worship the Creator and would rather worship the creation. That's in the book of Romans. It's inherent in man, in the flesh, in the nature of man. And we heard much on that this morning in our message this morning. How God is the Creator of all, but man rejects God as Creator. So people would rather pay homage and participate in spiritualism of some kind rather than bow the knee and pay homage to the Creator of all things, the one, Christ Jesus, who was not created but created all things. And just briefly, Matthew Henry goes on to say, it was necessary that the apostle should insist not only on Christ being the Creator of all things and therefore of angels themselves, but he is being the risen and exalted Messiah to whom angels, authorities and powers are made subject. And there was much in that chapter there, much in those verses we've just covered. Now, friends, we are in a battleground. Just as we heard about evolution this morning and the battle for men's souls, we are in a battleground for the truth. Men oppose Christ's deity. They will call him a prophet. They will call him a rabbi. Some even say he was an angel. But they will fail to acknowledge that he is God, that he is God in the flesh. That's the battleground. And here the apostle is giving us a lot of ammunition. And if we consider these verses, and I want to list seven reasons out of this text tonight, seven reasons why Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. And this is very relevant in our superstitious age. It is very relevant in our materialistic and superstitious age. Man is comfortable to hold Christ at a certain level, but to say that he is God, that is the point. When Jesus came, he said to his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And there were many different thoughts running around at that time as to who Christ was, many ideas about him, that he was a great man and a prophet and so forth. But who do you say I am? And that is the question for all of us. And that is the response that we have to give to men in this age. Who do we say Christ is? He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than the angels. Now, seven reasons. Number one, he has an inheritance incorruptible. The angels do not have this. He is God's Son. The angels were never promised an inheritance incorruptible. Only the Son. Psalm 2 and verse 7 says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He has said to me, Thou art my Son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. That was not a promise given to the angels. The promise in this verse is to the Messiah himself, God's Son. And so this is a clear articulation of why Christ Jesus is far superior to the angels. One of seven clearly defined in this text. He has an inheritance incorruptible. 1 Peter. Peter writes these words. And it shows how this is amazing. We know that man is created a little lower than angels. Man is created a little lower than angels. They are God's ministering spirits. And yet, listen to what Peter writes. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. That's to man. Man who's lower than the angels. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Friends, we have an eternal inheritance, incorruptible, in the heavens. Together in Christ, as Hebrews 1 said, we are heirs with him. We are heirs. We have an inheritance incorruptible, and that angels are desiring to look into these things. This is incredible. God saw us a little lower than angels, unable to save ourselves. And he gave himself for us. That is awesome. I stand in awe in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could save me, a sinner, undone, unclean. Here are these angels who go before the face of God. We know that in the Bible, Jesus said that the angels are constantly before the throne of God. They're before the face of God. Man cannot approach God and live. And yet these ministering spirits go before the throne of God. It's amazing that God should have such mercy and should include us in an inheritance incorruptible. And God has given his Son this inheritance. He's not given it to angels. So Christ Jesus is far supreme above angels. Second reason, the angels of God are commanded to worship him. That is, that they are to worship Christ. Now, the Bible clearly says the worship of any created thing is idolatry. So this refutes the fact that Christ was created. He was not created. He's pre-existent before time. Because it would be idolatry to worship a created thing. And it is idolatry. And yet, the angels of God are commanded in Hebrews to worship Christ Jesus. Now, the Muslim will tell you that's blasphemy. The Muslim will tell you it's blasphemy to worship Christ. They will acknowledge Christ as a rabbi. They will even acknowledge that he was sinless and born of a virgin. But they say you must only pay homage and worship Allah alone. And it's interesting as you read their structure of beliefs and their understanding of God and of Christ and of angels. They are also comfortable to leave him at this point. And this is the battleground, friends. At every level, this is the battleground. Christ Jesus is greater than any prophet. And he is greater than any created thing, angels included. And so he deserves worship. In fact, angels of God are commanded by God to worship Christ. So the, and Scripture totally refutes the argument that Jesus was a created being. How could God contradict Himself? He cannot. God cannot contradict Himself. And if He on one hand says very plainly and clearly, you shall have no other gods before Me, you shall not worship any created thing. How can then Jesus be worshipped? Matthew 8:2, a leper came and worshipped Him. Matthew 14:33, after Jesus calmed the storm, what did the disciples do? They worshipped Him, saying He's the Son of God. What did the blind man do in John 9:38, when He had healed him and revealed Himself to be the Son of God? It says the man believed and he worshipped Jesus. Now if Jesus was not God, He would have said, don't worship Me. But He is God. He is God. Remember on the Isle of Patmos when John fell down in Revelation 19:10, and he fell down at the angel's feet to worship Him. What did the angel say? See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Jesus was no angel. As this world would, you know, they would claim that they're doing Him a service by even calling Him an angel. For many deride and blaspheme Him so. Oh, friends, we are created lower than the angels, and yet men have such blasphemies and speak so, you know, openly about anything and everything. Jesus Christ deserves all worship. Remember after His resurrection in Matthew 28, what did the disciples do? They worshipped Him. And even after He had ascended into heaven, in Luke 24, the disciples worship Him. He is deserving of worship. So clearly He's not an angel because He is worshipped. He's not a created thing. Point three, His throne is forever and ever. God is eternal. He rules forever. Angels do not rule on thrones. Angels do not rule on thrones. They mete out God's judgments. They do God's bidding at His command. But they do not sit upon thrones. They are ministering spirits, the Bible says, and flames of fire. Yet the place at God's right hand is reserved for Christ alone. And so, even back in the Psalms, in the prophecy, the Lord swore to David in Psalm 132:11 that of the fruit of your body, I will set upon your throne. It will never cease. That lineage would never cease. It would be an eternal throne. Luke 1:32, it says that He will be great. Christ Jesus will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give Him the throne of His father David. That was never promised to any created being. It was not promised to any angels. So Christ Jesus is greater than the angels because His throne is forever and ever. Number four, Christ Jesus is anointed with the oil of gladness. He is anointed with the oil of gladness. It says, with the oil of gladness you've been anointed more than your companions. Now we know when the Lord Jesus walked into the temple, and it's documented in Luke chapter 4, that He quoted Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Me. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the Son, the Lord Jesus. He deserved all the preeminence. And He said, today, the Scripture is fulfilled. The Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of God was upon Him to preach the gospel to the poor, to go to the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, of recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, in the Old Testament, God used the prophets and His ministering servants, the angels, to deliver His word. But in these days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In these days, the Bible says, He speaks to us by His Son. And that says that there is more authority in the Word. There is more power. It's come right from His mouth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today, Jesus said. This has been fulfilled in your ears. Hear ye Him, the Bible says. The Apostle Peter, in Acts 10:38, speaks of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. To no angel was this privilege ever bestowed, that they should have such an unction and such an anointing. This was reserved for Christ alone. This was reserved for Christ alone. He was the one. The Spirit of God rested upon Him. And to no angel was His privilege bestowed in this manner. Number five, and we heard much about the creation this morning. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus Christ is Creator God. No angel created the heaven and the earth. No angel was ever declared to have such power. In John 8:58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was before the prophets. He was before the angels. And friends, this refutes so many religions today. And this refuted those Jewish zealots back in this day. Because there was a transition. There was this warring amongst those who were coming out of Judaism and accepting this new faith. And the apostle here makes it very clear, the writer to the book of Hebrews makes it very clear through very distinct relation back into the Old Testament that Jesus Christ is no angel. He is far superior. In fact, He is Creator God. And before any created thing, He was. I am. Colossians 1 and Verse 15 says that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn. For by Him, through Christ, all things were created, including angels, that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him. All things are created for Him. Number six, another evidence why Jesus is far superior to the created being, the angel. Jesus is unchanging. You remain, the Bible says. You are the same. To which of the angels did He say that? Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 13:8, it is said of Him that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, it was never said this of the angels. In fact, a rebellion in heaven proves the angels could change. It proves they could fall. You see, Christ Jesus is far superior to that powerful being, that powerful creation of God, the angel. We're in a war, friends. There are principalities and powers. Those things that are visible, we see, and creation speaks forth that which we know and we see. It's tangible. There are also those things which are invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And just as there is deception, as we heard this morning, lies to prove that God did not create, so there are lies. There are lies today that Christ is not who He says He is. James 1 and verse 17 says that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no variation. Christ Jesus is unchanging. All things that He created can change. They can change, but He remains the same. Numbers 23:19 refutes man. God is not a man that He should lie. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? Jesus Christ is unchanging. And our last point, point seven. Ultimately, Jesus Christ will rule. The privilege is not given to any created being. It is not given to the angels. He will rule. Sit at my right hand. To which of the angels, back in our text, in Hebrews 1:13, to which of the angels has God ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Friends, one day every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue. I wanted to read this sobering portion from Matthew Henry. The Savior has done much to make all men His friends, yet He has enemies. But they shall be made His footstool by humble submission or by utter destruction. Christ shall go on conquering and to conquer. And angels shall gather all the saints together at the last day, when all whose hearts and hopes are set upon perishing treasures and fading glories will be driven from Christ's presence into everlasting misery. The angels will have that gruesome task. Both the joyous task of gathering the saints and the gruesome task of gathering all those whose hearts are set upon perishing treasures and fading glories. All of those who will be driven from Christ's presence and thrown into the everlasting lake prepared for the devil and his angels. What a sobering thought. What a sobering thought. Friends, the book of Hebrews proclaims Christ's glories, Christ's supremacy, His rule, His authority. And we know Him as our Savior from sin. I trust all of us tonight know Him as Lord. And just as we need to refute the arguments this morning of evolution, we need to refute the arguments of religion and of man-centered ideals that place Christ in this lower rung. No. He is glorious. And He is coming back again. When we were singing that song earlier tonight, it struck me. He's coming back again. And friends, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. He is at the right hand of the Father right now till His enemies are made His footstool. This is a fearful thing. It's an awesome thing. And we should evermore, by the text we've read tonight, if we see here that angels prostrate fall before the Christ, how much more should we, who are created a little lower than the angels, not prostrate fall before Him? Later in Hebrews 2, the writer says, what is man that you are mindful of him in verse 6? Or the son of man that you take care of him? What is man? A rebel. A rebel. It's what we are. We're just rebels. Made a little lower than the angels who chose to rebel against God. And when the angels rebelled against God, they were cast down to earth for everlasting punishment. Never to see salvation. Never to see rectification back to that original position. They were before the face of God. They were the angels of God, flames of fire, ministering before God. And they treaded such a fine line. They walked a tightrope because they were before the face of a holy God. And they rebelled and they fell, never to be restored to their glory, the glorious position of ministering to Christ, of ministering to the Father. And yet we, what is man, the writer says? Who are you, man? What are we that you, God, should be mindful of us? That you should take care of us? You've made us a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the work of your hands and put all things in subjection under his feet. Friends, this scripture isn't there. This text we've read tonight, it's not simply there to refute the arguments of the Muslim or the JW or whatever. This is to put an awe and a fear in the heart of God's people. As we, his children, that we should prostrate fall and not try and bring God down to our level of experience and bring down God's word to our experience, but rather that we would be raised up to an experience with him where he sits and see him as he is in the scripture. And thereby, when we see him as he is, friend, whether you physically do it or not, you will prostrate fall in your heart. You will fall down and worship the glorious Savior and bow and pay homage to him who deserves all praise, all worship. He deserves it forever and ever. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we see you lifted up, high and holy. And God, our hearts are troubled by the blasphemies, by the belittling of your name. Oh God, may we as your people never stoop to be influenced by this world, by the devil and his lies, or by our own, oh Lord, slothfulnesses. Lord, raise us up to an experience of you. Raise us up to see you as you are in Scripture. Lord, your word shows clearly how angels prostrate fall. Lord, your word shows clearly that you are no created being, but you reign supreme. Oh God, help us to live our lives. Help us, Lord, your people, to live lives worthy of this calling, of being called ambassadors of heaven, ambassadors of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.